You are listening to a Student Radio Association podcast.
This is Rue. I'm here with Ollie Mann at the Student Radio Conference. You spoke to us about four podcasts and a radio show that you do on LBC.
I'm tremendously promiscuous. It's embarrassing.
That's a lot. How do you keep up with all of that? In what? So these are weekly, I presume.
They're not actually. No. So that's the thing that's made it easier. When I started, and this is my advice for the students I was talking to today, I think it's really important for podcasts to have a kind of regularity about them, that habit-forming effect where you know it's going to come out on a particular day, and you can almost, I doubt anyone actually does set their week around my podcast, but you can almost know, you know, Tuesday commute, I'll be listening to The Modern Man or whatever it is. But actually now I'm in a position that I have more of an audience. I can indulge myself slightly. So yes, I do a lot. In fact, all of them I think are fortnightly. Yeah, no, one of them's 10 weekly shows in a series. And the others are fortnightly.
So fortnightly gives you that time to get everything edited and together. But do you think that listeners find bi-weekly more difficult to keep up with? Or is that not an issue, so long as you're regular?
I think so long as the listeners know when you're coming out, that's fine. I think the worst thing is when you suddenly do three. Unless you're a news-based show and there's an obvious reason to do five in a week suddenly, like there's an election or whatever. I think the worst thing is when people don't know when you're going to be there. I think if you're monthly even, and you know that there's a monthly show, then that's fine. I think the listeners can adapt to that. But I think the most important thing is not to keep chopping and changing it about.
You wouldn't stretch it to quarterly, though.
Well, then it's not really a podcast, is it?
No.
For me, a podcast is a series. Although that said, I mean, you know, realistically, I mean, I'm a Ben Folds fan, for example. I'm interested to hear Ben Folds talk about his songwriting. So once a year, I type the words Ben Folds into my iTunes search bar and I download every podcast that he's done an interview for. And I only ever listen to that episode of that particular podcast because, to be honest, the presenters will be American and irritating. So I guess in a way, if you're honest about it, maybe you should be thinking, well, this is an episode of the show that, you know, people listen to and they'll never come back for more. But that's not how you
edition.
Exactly. But that's not how you build an audience, is it?
Well, there's so much out there as well. You channeled Shia LaBeouf earlier. Mm. LaBeouf, is that how LaBeouf, LaBeef?
I'll take your guide.
Shia, we'll stick with Shia. And you said, just do it. It's very important for us all to be doing a podcast. How would you say we stand out from the swarm of podcasts that are already out there on iTunes, Mixcloud, Soundcloud, all the rest?
By being really good. I mean, it's the same way you stand out on the radio, isn't it? You know, you've got a schedule of people on a radio station that are all basically doing the same thing, you know, having a discussion about a certain roster of subjects and or playing the same number of records. So how do you stand out anywhere? You know, you hope to sort of touch the audience in a non-nutri way and get them on side. And I think it's the same with podcasts.
In that case, you've been doing... Answer me this. You've been doing that for 10 years. So after 10 years, how do you keep it fresh? How do you feel like that's not going to turn stale?
That's a very good question. It's very difficult, is the honest answer. Mm. You just have to keep working harder at it. But actually, it's been an interesting intellectual exercise to keep working at it because at roots, it's a very simple comedy format. You know, here's a subject, riff on it for 5 minutes. And actually... in a way, bizarrely, what's kept it fresh is the fact that we have discussed everything before. So if we have a question about pizza toppings now, we've already answered over the years 5 or 6 questions about pizza toppings. So all of the lazy observational comedy or kind of anecdotes from your own life that you think, oh, that's my pizza toppings material, that's gone. And yet you still have to weave 3 minutes out of pizza toppings. So actually, it tends to sound fresher, I think, now because we have to push ourselves that little bit harder to have a conversation that we haven't had before.
So the shift from podcast to LBC, what was the most notable sort of difference between doing something pre-recorded and live?
I think when you're doing something live, obviously you don't have the benefit of editing. And particularly in the genre of phone-in radio, you have the issue that if you're not feeling it that day, then the audience aren't either. And they actually can almost sniff out if you're nervous and then be put off from calling in. And of course, that is the worst possible thing for a phone-in radio station. If someone feels nervous, then they're not going to call. And then you're talking to yourself. And the thing that you're anxious about and trying to avoid is talking to yourself without having anyone speak to you on the phone. So, yeah.
You've got to have your radio equivalent of your poker face on.
Exactly. And that was some advice, actually, that Ian Collins gave me before I started. I went for lunch with him. I took him out for lunch. Where did we go? Belgo. He'd never had Belgian food before. He's a very uncultured man. I said to him, You know, what would be your main advice for my first show? And he basically said words to the effect of put your balls on the table. Just kind of, you know, live it. This is me. This is what I think. Yeah. Take it. Sound like you really mean it. And luckily, over the years, I've been able to do that without sounding like I'm faking it anymore.
And one last thing. You spoke of interactivity as being a very important part of social media. So if you could ask the SRA students via this podcast, what's one question you want the answer to? Answer me this.
Bloody hell. What's the one question I want the answer to?
Yeah, oh, well, it could be anything. Something to do with student life, or
no? Actually, genuinely, the thing I would like the answer to is what podcast they're listening to that perhaps I'm not aware of.
Interesting,
because I'm aware now. I mean, when I first spoke at an SRA conference, I was younger, and I'm aware now that I'm getting further away from the age of the average delegate, and I'm talking about podcasts as if they're this kind of bright, shiny new thing. And of course, they've been going for 10 years, and I'm not sure, actually, where the kind of average 22-year-old geek radio person is with podcasting. I don't know what they're listening to. Is it Radiolab? You know, are they all just going to say This American Life? Or are they actually proving me right and diving a bit deeper than that?
Well, hopefully we can fill you in.
I look forward to finding out.
Thank you very much for talking with me.
Thank you.
To get in contact with us, tweet @SRA.